Well, today is a special day, isn't it? Because today is, it's the Lord's Day. Oh, it is Mother's Day, isn't it? And so we want to wish all the moms, all the grandmoms, grandmothers, all the great-grandmothers, and if you're a great-great-grandmother, we want to wish you a great-great-great-grandmother. We want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day today. Trust that you will sense the Lord's love to you in a personal way, His presence, His peace, His purpose. God always has a plan, and His plan is to do you good all the days of your life. We praise Him for our mothers, so grateful to the Lord and His grace. If you have your Bibles, we want to invite you to take them and turn with us. We've been studying together 2 Corinthians, and we are finding ourselves now in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in relating to mothers, they do give generously, and they give unselfishly, and they give sacrificially. And so we could really highlight moms today. But Paul, the apostle, is speaking to the Corinthian believers here, and as we touched base last week in chapter 8, he was really trying to encourage the Corinthians to be generous in their giving, to give cheerfully in their giving, because it was important. It was important not for Paul personally in the sense of building up his ministry, because he was very good at saying, listen, I have the right as an apostle for you to earn my living from my teaching and my ministry, but I don't want to be a burden to you, so I'm not going to ask for that. But I want you to give support to the believers in Jerusalem. They are in need. They are in need. And we looked at chapter 8 a little bit last week. This morning, we're going to look together at chapter 9. And as we do, I have a question for you. I have a question for you. The question is, if people were to ask about your giving, oh man, right to the heart already? I haven't even woken up yet. If people were to ask you about your giving, would you be considered generous or a Scrooge? Now, Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, he is the protagonist of Charles Dickens' 1843 novella, A Christmas Carol. We know the story well, I assume, and it is about this man who becomes wealthy, but in his pursuit of wanting things and wanting wealth and wanting gold, he becomes very hard-hearted toward others, and he doesn't want to help them at all, and he's very stingy, and he's very, in the sense, very mean and very cruel. And it takes three spirits to come and wake him up from his senses. And this morning we want to know if people would think that of you. Are you like Charles Dickens Scrooge, or are you more generous? Well, let's look at the scriptures this morning and see what Paul is writing as he writes to these believers here in chapter 9. It's a continuation of thought of chapter 8. He says, there is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm was stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, God for his indescribable gift. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. God intends his children to be generous givers. This reflects their heavenly Father who has graciously given us all things. Those who demonstrate this generosity of giving are blessed by God. They are blessed because of the needs being met, the testimony that is given, the practice of being a good steward, heart change toward giving, the dependency of God for their provision. Wow. God desires you and I to be generous in our giving. Now, before you say, bah, humbug, would you rather be around someone who is closed-fisted and a grudge? I'm not going to give you anything. That's my chocolate candy. It's not yours. Well, can you share a piece? You got a whole bag. No, I'm not going to give you any of my chocolate candy. Right? Or would you rather be around someone who is generous, joyful, open-handed, giving? God wants us, his people, to be generous givers. And when we do, I find in this passage, Paul lays out at least five or six truths regarding the blessing of being a generous giver. Giving generously is a blessing. It's a blessing, first of all, because it serves God's people. It's a service to God. In verse 1, he says, there is no need for me to write to you about this service to God's people, to the Lord's people, this act of grace, this gift of giving. I don't need Corinthians to write to you to remind you to be generous in your giving because you're the ones that started it a year ago when I approached you about the needs in Jerusalem. But somehow through the process of all the stuff that's been flying at us, you've lost the vision of being generous. And I'm encouraging you. So I don't need to write to you about it. You know that it is a blessing when we serve one another in the family of God. We have in chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, again, the examples of the Macedonian churches, which was Philippi and Thessalonica. They were poor in their giving in the sense that they didn't really have a whole lot, but they were generous in their poverty. They gave what they had. They gave sacrificially. What an example of that. Wow. In John chapter 12, if you turn over there and verses 1 through 3, we have an example of a woman who gave sacrificially. And she gave willingly to serve. Who? To serve the Lord. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Verse 3, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What did Mary do? Mary gave sacrificially. The disciples, as you follow in this passage in John 12, they were upset over this. Judas Iscariot, he objected over this. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was about a year's wages. What is the average salary today? If it's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, could you imagine? In a few minutes, $50,000 poured out. Dun, 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 dun. Sacrificially she gave. Out of her heart, willing, because she was serving who? Oh, man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of all. And yet sometimes God prods our hearts to be generous, and we have a closed fist, and we say, Lord, I know you've given that to me. That's mine, but I am going to hang on to it. I am Ebenezer Scrooge. And God says, oh, if you would only open up your hands and see the bountiful blessings that happens when you give to others, you indeed will be blessed. We have the example of Jesus. A little bit later on in John chapter 13, if you turn over there, we see that Jesus, what does he do? It was just before the Passover meal, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up, verse 4, from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. He humbled himself. He became a servant, but he was giving. He was serving others. Who did he serve? He served his disciples. He was serving them. Judas, the one who betrayed him, he served him. He washed his feet. Peter, the one who denied him, he bent down and washed his feet. He gave. He gave. When verse 12 of that chapter, he says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. That's why Paul wrote in verse 9 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Wow. Jesus was saying the blessing takes place in the giving, in the serving, and we are blessed. We will become more generous in our giving. We're blessed because we're serving God's people, serving one another. Sometimes that moment may happen in your daily activities when you're called upon to serve another brother or sister in Christ, and to you it feels inconvenient. It's not at the right time. It's not at the good place. You're not in a good frame of mind. And yet the Lord is asking you to serve. will you obey? We see it's a blessing, though. It is a blessing. And then it is a blessing because it testifies of God's grace, verses 2 through 5. Here we see in chapter 9, notice the words that are expressed here in these verses. For I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, Paul's writing, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. I find this humorous in one sense because Paul is saying to the brothers there in Corinth, listen, I know you've got a generous heart. You started out really well. You got distracted by many different things, but now I'm encouraging you to become so generous again. In fact, I'm going to send the brothers there to make sure that you do that. What? Don't you love that? Moms are great at that. They come along their children. Now, I've told you to do this. Da, 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 da. And then a little bit later, they come along and they'll follow up. Well, did you do this? Da, 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 da. Well, I'll be back to check on you. Make sure that you've cleaned your room. Da, 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 da. Right? Accountability. We need accountability. Now, Paul was not sending the brothers there to whip them or to manipulate them. He wanted to encourage them. He said, hey, listen, I got the brothers coming. They're going to receive the offering. Are you going to be ready? The deadline's approaching. And so he sends them. But notice those words that he talks about. It's not in a bad light. He says they're eager. I'm eager. Your eagerness, man, you're boasting. I'm boasting about you. I'm telling everybody about you. How wonderful you guys and gals are. I'm ready to give. And you have produced enthusiasm in others because you're giving, they're giving. It's catching. I'm urging you. So I want you to finish what you've promised. You said you would give, and I want you to finish it. Complete the task. And that it will be ready as a, what does he say? Generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. We see here twice, as one commentator says, twice in this verse, the Corinthian contribution is called a generous gift. The Greek is eulogia, blessing, a biblical word that refers either to an act of blessing or consecration or to some concrete benefit given by God or a human being. Here, the latter meaning is more appropriate, a benefit bestowed by the Corinthian believers on the Jerusalem saints. The Corinthian contribution would be an act that produced the blessing. And that we'll get to that. Well, more blessings will come because of that. It will cause not only encouragement in those who receive the gift, but those who give the gift. It's known as a generous gift. And Paul wants us to be a first-rate collection to give. Wow. Next, I see giving generously is a blessing because it shapes the giver's attitude in verses 6 and 7. It shapes. It's a result of practical stewardship. In other words, here's a principle that Paul is saying. He's saying, remember this, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. What does that mean? The New Living Translation, I believe, says if you have a small seed and plant it, you're going to reap something very small. But if you plant large seeds, you're going to reap a large harvest. In other words, give. Whatever you sow, whatever you plant, if you are generous in your giving, it will return to you. Proverbs says this in chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And Paul also wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we see that what I give out of a big, generous heart, I will reap in God's timing. And my desire should that I should give and be in, to do good to all people. It reflects the attitude of the giver. Verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, if they had were honest before the Holy Spirit and said, God, we'll give you this much, and then said, yes, that's it. But they said, no, we're going to give you all, and yet they kept some of it back. They lied to God. They lied to the body of Christ. And Peter, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, called them to account, and God took them home. Why? Well, that's a mean God. Well, God was demonstrating to the church that we don't lie to the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be honest before Him, to be truthful before Him. Yes, He knows all our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows our heart's attitude. But He wants us to come humbly before Him and to cast all our anxiety and cares upon Him and worries of the day. He knows all about it. He wants us to be honest. We don't have to pretend that we are more righteous in the presence of a holy God when He knows everything about us. Some of us think we can fool God by our actions. We can fool others, but we can't fool God. And God is longing to build in us the characteristics of generosity and honesty and holiness. And He does that, and He does that by filling us with His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit in the life, in your life, can transform your thinking, can transform your attitudes, can transform your behavior, to be like Jesus. He can move you from being an Ebenezer Scrooge to being very generous from the heart. The question is, will you let Him? Will you let Him? Give willingly to the Lord, cheerfully to the Lord, joyfully to the Lord. You don't have to tell anybody. Just tell Jesus, Jesus, I'm going to give you this because I love you. It is a blessing because He changes our attitudes to give. Giving generously is a blessing because it relies on God as provider. In Acts 14, 17, Paul's talking there and he's saying, yet He has not left Himself without testimony, He has shown kindness by giving you rain, referring to God, giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you. God provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. We know the verses Philippians 4:19, that my God will supply your every need according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That word supply is It's the same as provides, that God will fill up a deficiency. In other words, I come before the Lord knowing that He is my source, He is my resource, and I give in His name cheerfully and generously. He will fill up the deficiency according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus told the widow, His disciples, that she gave more than everything that the Pharisees were giving, because she probably gave it cheerfully and generously, and though she gave little, she gave all that she had. And God would meet her needs. Relies on God, our provider. Sometimes in our giving, we don't want to give because we say, well, Lord, you know, I need X amount, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that might be so, and there's got to be self-control and self-discipline. But God may be prompting your heart to give, to trust Him, because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. He may bring a blessing that you never expected. Giving generously is a blessing because it results in thanksgiving. And this is verses 12 through the end of 15. And again, he says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. In other words, as I give generously to serve the body of Christ, relying on God as my provider, giving cheerfully to the Lord because it's a proper attitude and so forth, it's going to produce thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in the hearts and the lives of others, but also thanksgiving in my heart because God is supplying the needs of the family of God. The needs of the Lord's people, and out of that will flow many expressions of thanks to God. It's a testimony because of the service, verse 13, by which you have proved yourselves. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Wow. The Lord has changed me so much so I'm giving generously to meet that need of others. I don't need any recognition for that because I love the Lord. He's done a marvelous, miraculous work in my heart. And I am so grateful for the act of grace, so therefore I give cheerfully to the Lord. And others, because their needs are being met now, are giving thanks to God. They're coming to know the Lord. And they're expressing that. And they're praising God for, he says, your obedience to the Lord. Verse 14, others joining their hearts with yours in prayer. So what happens is, I'm giving, needs are being met, others are rejoicing in the Lord. And then notice, verse 14 and 15, what takes place? And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. What takes place? Oh, man, others will start praying for you. They'll start praying for you. You're giving generously, their hearts become knit with yours, and they start praying for you. Do you need prayer? Do you need prayer? I've never met an individual who said to me, Pastor, don't pray for me. Or if I've gone up to someone and said, can I pray for you? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've never had a rejection yet. We all need prayer. We all need prayer. And by our generous giving, it opens up an avenue for others to pray for you. They join with you in prayer and thanksgiving. And they end it by saying, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now, what is that indescribable gift? Is it the the offering that the Corinthians are gathering for the church in Jerusalem? I would submit to you, no. I would submit to you, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. That is his indescribable gift. Jesus Christ himself, who, as Paul said in chapter 8, was rich yet became poor. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So the question is, would others say you're generous? Or would they say you're a Scrooge? What is the Lord saying to you from his word today? Would I be considered a generous person, or do I give grudgingly or generously? Is there a project I've committed to, but maybe like the Corinthians, I've lost track of that, and therefore circumstances have kept me from fulfilling that promise? What is keeping me from giving cheerfully to the Lord? Has my faithfulness produced thanksgiving in others? In my life, has it produced an attitude of cheerfulness? Has my giving inspired others to join in prayer and worship? Oh, that we would be known as followers of Jesus by our love for one another, by our generous giving to help one another. And that would be an overflow of thanksgiving and a testimony so that others would come to know him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning to our hearts. And if we are honest before you, which you desire, because you know everything about us, we see that you desire for us as your children to be generous givers. And Lord, we live in a consumeristic, materialistic world where people are saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want, I want. And yet, Lord, you gave your all so that we would be rich in you. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us a sense of contentment, a sense of thankfulness, a gratefulness. Lord, that you will move in our hearts if we find that we're leaning toward being a grudge, that you will move us to be generous in a cheerful way. And Lord, that you will pour out your blessing upon those of us who have been generous, that you'll encourage those who give generously, that they'll see they're serving the body of Christ for the glory of Jesus Christ. We thank you that our Savior is an indescribable gift. And we give you all the praise today. And Lord, we thank you too, again, for our mothers. We thank you for their example of love for you. We thank you for their selflessness in their giving to serve their family, to serve you. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless them richly today as well. Continue to have your way in our lives, that Christ will be exalted and his name lifted up on high. This we pray in Jesus' name.